Good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon, Tom. And it is really afternoon as well.
I know. We've had what can only be described as an incredibly hectic few days, I feel. Tim was away on Tuesday, and we've had all sorts of things that have seemed to get in the way of everything at a time when, for a lot of people, their schedules have been cleared. For whatever reason, it's just felt like one of those days, one of those weeks. But we are delighted to be able to join you. And I think there's a phrase, isn't there? Better late than never.
Yeah, phrases seem to be the in thing at the moment for people to speak about. So, yeah, better late than never is certainly one. I don't think my dad would ever have used that because he never wanted us to be late for anything. So, we were not allowed to be late, so I don't think I ever heard him say better late than never, because if you were late, it was bad news.
We should also apologize.
Anyway,
we should apologize for the audio quality as well today. This is all part of the busyness of life, in that both of us, I think, have left our microphones in the wrong places. So,
yes,
sorry about that. But
or maybe we're in the wrong places and our microphones are in the right places.
Well, that is very possible. That is very possible. Now, Tim,
but anyway,
you've been with us now for 51 weeks. Can you believe
Have it? I? Goodness me, that is an amazing thought. Yes, 1st of October we moved. Yeah, we came down 1st of October. Wow, that is most amazing.
Absolutely.
I'm remembering my anniversary, Tom. That's amazing.
It's been a very, very long year, I imagine, hasn't it?
I'm sorry if it's felt like that for you, but
I think it's circumstantial rather than the people.
Yes, yes, of course it is. Yes, yes, a very bizarre year, and one I know none of us foresaw being this weird, really. But I'm glad I was here for a few months before lockdown, at least. Mm. Otherwise, that would have been even weirder. But it's a crazy sort of time, really. That. Has left us all feeling a little bit unsure, but we're finding our way through gradually. And, you know, out of every crisis comes opportunity, as they say. And we've definitely had opportunities to do different things, to get to know each other in a slightly different way, but also to explore new potential for reaching people, which is the main thing, isn't it?
Mm. Very much so. Now, we should start, before we start today's more formal part of the podcast, by saying that next week we're taking a week off. So to celebrate Tim's 1 year of being here, we thought we'd do a bit of a question and answer session with Tim. And we've got a series of questions that I'm curious to know the answer to. And some of this, we'd have found these things out through icebreakers. The first week of an alpha course is always a great opportunity to have these sorts of questions. I'm not going to be asking the questions that come up on the alpha course, because I'll let Tim answer those as and when we run an alpha course in the future. But I've got 10 big questions, Tim, to which I hope you can give some of the answers to.
Well, it will be shorter than the grilling I had when I came to preach with a view at Newcastle Baptist Church, won't it? So it will almost be like a relief.
You haven't heard the questions yet.
No, I haven't. That is true. That is true.
So the first question, and arguably the most important, is on a bacon sandwich, do you have red sauce, brown sauce, or no sauce?
Well, that's easy. That has to be brown sauce. I can't have it without anything, and I dislike tomato sauce because I don't like tomatoes, funnily enough, even though I eat them on pizzas, lasagna, spaghetti bolognese, even though I eat tomatoes on all of those things, not as they are, and I can't stand tomato sauce. So brown sauce, easy. Thank you.
That's a great way to come into question number two, which is a tomato a fruit?
Ah, now there's an interesting one, because the pips are on the inside. Mm. Yeah, but then you get strawberries and raspberries, but they're berries, aren't they? Mm. Probably not fruits. Because blueberries, where are blueberry pips? So they're on the inside, aren't they?
We just bought a blueberry plant.
Yeah, because in Finland, because our son and his wife and our granddaughter live in Finland, and blueberries grow in the wild there. So in the summer, they just go into the forest and pick the blueberries like we would pick blackberries. So, I don't know. I'm rambling. I don't know the answer to the question.
That's fine.
Is the answer Jesus?
Perhaps to later questions, yes.
Oh, good, good. Because I thought the answer to every question was Jesus, but there we are. Go.
My third question is, what do you think of pumpkin spice lattes, and have you ever had one?
I have never had a pumpkin spice latte. I dislike all these coffees with flavors. I've tried them several times. Christmas in particular, I think I had a ginger bread latte or something.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem worth the effort, really. So I've fallen for it a couple of times, but I just keep going back to just plain old black Americano. So I've never had one, and I don't intend to have one or any other fancy sounding coffee, because they are the most disappointing thing in the world. What about you, Tom? You don't drink coffee, do you? Do you drink coffee?
I do drink coffee sometimes. It's caffeine
you drink a lot of, don't you, in the energy drinks?
You're not supposed to tell everybody that. I just choose to take my caffeine, which I used to never really have any caffeine at all, apart from occasional Coca-Colas. But then I think, as most people find, I've ended up developing an occasional need to have some sort of caffeine to wake me up or boost me during the day. So to answer the question...
So is a Pepsi Max any good to you, or...?
Well, it has caffeine in, but only in small amounts.
And no sugar.
No sugar. Yeah. Maximum taste, no sugar. But we're not allowed to really have
strange.
Too much, are we?
Oh, sorry, no.
But yes, you'll often find me with a can of Pepsi Max or something in my hand. And that's instead of a coffee. It's instead of a coffee for me.
It clearly does you the world of good, Tom, because you're always enthusiastic, bubbly, awake, and everything else.
That's what it is.
It works well.
The youth group have seen me at my lowest, though, which is kind of probably at Soul Survivor at 7 a.m. before I've had any opportunity to take on caffeine.
When 7 a.m.
I resemble either the Grinch, the Gruffalo, or some combination of all of those. in some sort of just, I'm a different person. I'm a totally different person. Anyway, moving on. So you don't like those drinks. You're not sure if it's tomatoes or fruit, but you do have brown sauce on your bacon or sausage roll. Question four. Would you rather Bournemouth win the Premier League or England win the World Cup?
Bournemouth win the Premier League any day.
Yeah. Easily.
That's an easy one. I'm not sure it's going to happen in my lifetime. I don't know whether we'll get it back into the Premier League even, but hey, you know what, we can always dream, can't we? I never thought Bournemouth would actually get into the Premier League, so that's amazing. You know, I just as a bit of an aside, I've been supporting Bournemouth for 50 years now.
Wow.
So one of my first matches was in 1970, and it was an FA Cup first round tie, and Bournemouth were playing Margate. So Bournemouth would have been in the old fourth division. Bournemouth were in the old fourth division, got drawn against Margate in the first round of the FA Cup. And I was there, and we beat Margate 11-0.
Wow.
And Ted McDougall, Bournemouth number 9, scored 9 of the goals that day. And I was there 50 years ago. Isn't that incredible?
That is incredible. And you know what's even more incredible? That might be the answer to this next question. What is the best event you've been at or seen live?
Now, sadly, I wasn't at the AFC Bournemouth versus Liverpool game a few years ago when Bournemouth beat Liverpool 4-3.
But that wasn't the best event, surely.
But I wasn't there anyway, so I it was a Sunday, and so I didn't used to go to Bournemouth games on a Sunday because I was very good like that. The best event I've ever been to, you know, that is a really cracking question.
And you're not allowed to say your wedding day, I should add.
Oh, I never even thought about that. Well done, thanks. other than my wedding day and the birth of my child, what was the... This, you know what? This is going to sound a bit crazy, but in the year 2000, do you remember what was built in the year 2000?
The
Millennium Dome. Now, you know how, I don't know, you may not remember, Tom, because you were only...
I remember it very well. I hope you're about to say the same.
It was panned in the press, in the media, wasn't it? It was absolutely ridiculed. But that this will give my age away, but you know it anyway. So the year 2000 was my 40th birthday. So I decided that I would get tickets to take not only my family, but my brother's families and my mum and dad to the Millennium Dome to celebrate my birthday. And so we went to the Millennium Dome in the year 2000 for my 40th birthday. And I tell you, it was brilliant. I don't know what the press were going on about. I thought it was absolutely amazing. And the show they put on in the middle of the arena was just staggering, absolutely staggering. So all those naysayers out there, I thought the Millennium Dome was an amazing thing to go to. Took us about 5 hours to get there because the traffic was horrendous. But when we got in, it was great. And see, one member of our family didn't come, and so at the entrance, I gave my ticket to somebody who'd come to pay on the door, and they never said thank you to me. That's terrible, isn't it?
Oh, that is terrible.
20 years ago, and it still hurts me that they never even said thank you.
Well,
Anyway, or never offered to pay for it. But
we'll pray for you to let go of that later.
let's put that to one side, yeah.
On the topic of Millennium Dome, I will never forget the escalator through the human body. Can you remember that? There
Ooh,
was a
yeah, that
massive
was amazing.
escalator where you went from the bottom of someone's body all the way up and through, seeing all of the organs, and it was just
It
incredible.
was amazing.
I remember
So,
watching Blackadder in that in
yes,
the Blackadder
Blackadder,
special film. I also
yes.
remember the McDonald's they had there because you had free refills on your drink, and I will never forget
Excellent.
a McDonald's with free refills on your drinks. So there we go.
Your mum and dad let you have them. Oh, dear me.
Yep.
So yeah, it's a bit of a weird one to remember, but I've just suddenly come back to my mind actually, and I thought it was. I've been to some amazing things in my life, Christian events and football events, and but that was particularly memorable. Yeah. So yeah, good.
Good.
Other than my wedding,
Other than your wedding
really.
day and the birth of
Oh,
the children.
quickly say
Okay, next question. What's the best meal that you've ever had?
it. The best meal I've ever had.
I should say I didn't give Tim these questions in advance, so he is actually
No.
having to think of the answers on the spot, which is very difficult.
Well, my best last meal eating out was on March the 7th this year. So just returned from watching Bournemouth play at Anfield.
Yep.
And that
Liverpool
was
won
like
two one,
one of
wasn't
the last games, 2-1, last one of the last games before lockdown, wasn't it?
Yes.
And some friends of ours were up from Bournemouth. My football buddy, who I've been going to see Bournemouth play for many years, came up, and we went to the Plume of Feathers for a meal after the match, and it was excellent. So a local restaurant, my last meal out, and it was excellent. I can't quite. I think I had the curry. They do a little curry thing that's
Little
amazing,
plate,
absolutely
yeah.
amazing. So, yeah. So, yeah. Big up local restaurant, Plume of Feathers. I don't know whether everybody's had a good experience of it, but that night it was excellent. So that was one good meal, and obviously my wedding reception meal was amazing. I have to say, because my wedding day was like the second most important day. I mean, the most important day of my life. So. Yeah, no, but yeah, I recommend. Yeah, I don't. We're not allowed to advertise, are we, really? But that was a good meal.
I think we can do
Other
other
than
podcasts,
that, yeah,
can't we?
of course we can. Yeah. So will that do as an answer?
Well, we'll let the people
Seem,
decide. They can send in complaints if it's not, but I think it's a very good answer.
yeah.
Yeah, good.
Or
Okay.
my mum's sausage, beans and mash. That was always good as well when I was growing up. So. I think that was on a Wednesday. We always had sausage, beans, and mash, but anyway.
Fantastic. Good. What's your favourite commandment?
Thou shalt not kill. It saved me from going to prison many, many times.
Very good answer. You didn't have to choose one of the Ten Commandments, of course, but choosing one of the ten, absolutely valid.
Yes.
Good. This next question is maybe a little bit more difficult, and you might have to rack your brain, but it also might just be an answer that's straight there. Who's the best preacher that you've heard, or has there been a talk that has stuck with you by somebody over the years?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of sermons over my lifetime. I've heard a lot of speakers. I think in more recent years, I think having gone to some sort of leadership conferences that have been sort of worldwide, if you like, you know, and you access them locally on video and DVD and now YouTube and everything. But yeah, who's my favorite preacher? I don't know. I guess it varies a bit. I love listening to someone like oh dear, this has really
I
put me on
know.
the
I'm
spot now,
really
hasn't it?
sorry. It's a bit of a mean
No, no,
question.
no.
That's why I like
So
it. Has there been a memorable talk? So you didn't have to say.
I love listening to a guy called Craig Groeschel. So he leads Life Church in America, but they have a global ministry. He's also the passion behind like the YouVersion Bible and everything. So I love his sort of enthusiasm. I've loved listening in the past, certainly to people like Rob Bell, who has a very particular way of preaching, and particularly many years ago when he used to sort of unpack the Old Testament and give the context for the Old Testament stories, which was incredibly eye-opening to me, having never really studied hard the sort of Jewish rituals. And he once brought a goat onto a stage to demonstrate the scapegoat imagery, where the priest would lay its hand on the scapegoat and transfer the sins of the nation onto the goat, and then they would send the goat out into the wilderness. And it was a very, yeah, I remember watching that, not live, but on video. And it was like, oh my goodness, so that's what it's all about. And he once had a guy come in who dressed up as the high priest, and so again did a whole background into the whole priestly function in the Old Testament story, and then, like, you know, obviously brought it up into the Jesus and the fact that the priest had sat down, you know, his ministry was finished because Jesus had died, the great high priest. So I think those were very enlightening and powerful things. And then sort of on a more, I guess, apologetic, someone like Tim Keller, was the leader of Redeemer Presbyterian in New York, who writes lots, but again, a very much more methodical preach, you know, and very would lay out very logically what it was he wanted to say using the Bible in a very powerful way. So, you know, I don't have one particular. I think I've been I try and listen across a whole spectrum of teachers and preachers, and that those are the ones probably over recent years that have sort of attracted my attention more than others for different reasons, really.
Okay, excellent. I'm going to add
What
in
about
one.
you, Tom? Do you have a preacher?
I think when I was younger, I was captivated by anybody who had a real passion for telling stories and for speaking to
Yeah,
me, not to the
that's
room,
good.
speaking to me. And so there are lots of people who've been excellent at doing that. More recently, there's a pastor from America called Tim Ross who is one of the most incredible openers of the Bible. He somehow manages to make a story come alive like I haven't seen many other people be able to do. And I am always excited whenever I see him speaking at any event that we're at as either church or youth or something, because I immediately am like, yep, this is going to be good. And much in the same way where you were talking about the way that visual things can help. You know, the goat from Rob Bell. There was a time when Tim Ross took a rubber dinghy up onto the stage to show the story when Jesus calmed the storm. And he was saying, drawing all the parallels of the moments in the Bible when the sea was involved and boats. And he was kind of just showing how unstable it was and how boats are much more stable than this dinghy. But if a storm wants to turn a boat over, a storm will turn the boat over and flip this dinghy like nothing, because it was nothing. But it was that whole thing of then looking at walking on water and that thing of stepping out of the boat and sort of it was basically, I'd call it the water sermon because it didn't kind of seem to narrow in on one particular story. It was just showing how Jesus used all these moments of storms and boats and water to create this overall picture. And it was that just way of the Bible being opened up in ways. And sometimes, sometimes you want a 10-minute talk that speaks right to you. Sometimes you want a 40-minute talk that you become lost in, but not lost in a bad way, lost in a thing of you could preach for 2 hours and I'm still going to love it. So I think he's been very good. Tim Keller, like you said as well, in terms of preacher, I've never seen him in person, obviously, but I've loved reading his books. And more recently, there's other authors that seem to come along and speak to me. So again, much like you, I think it's people that are able to take something and make it that little bit, almost open it up in a slightly different way or show a little something more. Because
Which
I
is what Jesus did, of course, didn't he?
well,
You know,
that's
and
it.
I've been thinking over the last few weeks really about, how simple the parables are, and actually how few he explained.
Well, Jesus is
And
very.
he just left the story in the air, and you had to think about it yourself. And I think sometimes, and this is true for myself as well, that I can get a bit lazy, and I want the preacher, the teacher, to tell me the whole thing, whereas actually I need to be doing the work as well. I need to let God, I let the Spirit sort of do something in me as well, with a story that actually might mean something different from you that it does to me. But what matters is that I'm attuned to what the Spirit wants to teach me in that moment, and telling stories, just ordinary stories, which is what Jesus did. Maybe we've sort of forgotten that a little bit, that actually as a listener as well, because it's not, I think it's not only about great preachers, it's about great listeners as well. And I think we, I've tried to discipline myself when I'm listening to a preacher. What is it God wants to say to me? What am I tuning into? Because I can't just sit there and hope I'm going to get blessed unless I the listener, am prepared to engage it as well. And what always intrigues me is after church, I know this is going back a 6 months, but when people say to me or email me and say, "I loved it when you said that," and I know full well I never said anything of the sort, but I get credited for what the Holy Spirit said to the person in some way through something, and I love that, because that's the dynamic of preaching that is so effective, that if you as the preacher are obedient to speaking what God has laid on your heart, it's up to God what he wants to do next. And whether it's something you say or whether it's just something that the listener hears directly from the Spirit, that's cool. That's absolutely fine. But I think we just need to, it's listening to the Spirit is the key thing. Whenever we're listening to a preacher, what is the Spirit saying to me through this person's words? I mean, it was like when Claire shared the other week, when disaster strikes, a sermon. And if you haven't, those who are listening, if you haven't yet clicked onto that on our YouTube site, please do listen to it, because it is such a powerful, so it was such a powerful message from her, born out of very deep personal experience. But it was so powerful because all of us are listening to that in the light of our own stories, and because she had the courage to speak from her experience, then the Spirit works in us through our own experiences as well. And I think, it's a good lesson for us to learn. I know that sermon, affected many people. I've had conversations about it, but it's a really important lesson for all of us to understand, that we've got to be good listeners to it, and listening to the words, but listening to what the Spirit has to say to us as well, because it's that that changes us and conforms us more into the likeness of Jesus.
Great, great. Two questions left, and you may have already answered the first of them. How will the church look different post-COVID? And I think you've already started on the first one by saying there's going to be more goats and more rubber dinghies.
Yeah, we're going to
But
dress up as high priests.
at the minute we know that we are nowhere near the end of this COVID crisis that we're in. This week has been a perfect display of that to us, and with the full disclosure of things from a church perspective, we are beginning to plan for what a very socially distant Christmas may look like. And it's painful for us to do it. But we also, as you were saying at the start, Tim, we recognize there are opportunities that come about. So I suppose without maybe answering every question, because we can't, how will the church look in your
I think the one thing, I think the sort of the overall thing is that we've been forced to change our methods, haven't we? I think I don't know whether we had conversations, but we would have had conversations about going online, increasing our online presence, because that is how we reach more people these days, and particularly in a younger generation, and we have to engage with that, and this has forced us to do it quicker than we would have done, but that's good, because, and we won't go back from that now. We'll be looking to how we can develop our online. We'll be looking at how we can dovetail our in-person gathering with our online presence as well. And how is that going to work for the future? So I think we just got to constantly look at our methods and how do we reach people in this sort of COVID and post-COVID world? Things are different, aren't they now? Church attendances in the UK were dropping any before COVID. The likelihood is they'll drop even further post-COVID, that people won't come back to attending because they've got used to not attending. So those who were attending irregularly probably won't attend again. So if we take that on the chin, then we've got to understand, well, how do we reach them then? Because there's definitely people are not losing faith, particularly, that they're just stopping attending church. Now we could argue a long time about whether the two, one leads to the other, et cetera. But that is the reality that we have to face, and we've got to understand that reality. So our methods have got to change, but our mission is definitely not going to change, and that's the thing that we've got to work out. How is our mission to reach people with the good news of Jesus, to go and make disciples of all nations? What is that going to look like in the post-COVID world? Well, even now in the COVID world, and into the future, how do we engage people in the story that is Jesus, that we know is the best good news anybody could have, because it's changed our lives, and we know if it changes our lives, it changes everybody's lives. So committed to the good news, to the message, and to the mission. What methods are we going to use in order to reach more people and to keep people engaged? So I don't quite know what church in terms of in-house or, but church is bigger than in-house. We know that. The church isn't about a building. We know that. Now we've had to prove it, and we will continue to have to prove it. I think it gives us great opportunities to serve our community, perhaps in different ways. We've become so aware of mental health issues, in particular, issues of loneliness and crisis. How are we, the church, going to serve our community in the light of all those issues that are being raised? Our young people, our children, they'll have been changed as a result of all of this as well. So how do we do that? And it's going to take all of us, to really think and to work in different ways to get the message, the same message across. And it can take us all. It's not just about you, me, the deacons. It's all of us being engaged in how we reach people with the good news of Jesus. And Christmas is going to be a great opportunity, and it's going to be different. But hey, I'm already excited about what Christmas could look like in terms of how we all engage people in celebrating that event.
And it's remarkable to think, as you were saying that just then, I'm reminded of someone from our church that's practically been begging for the last 2 years for us to be live streaming our services. And for whatever reason, we kept putting up blockades, saying, oh, it's too much effort, not worth it. And all of a sudden, it's like, I feel like the door's been opened to basically say, well, you've got to do it, so do it. And I suppose, what other things in the past have we put off doing because we've been worried about what might be or how it's going to look or the effort it's going to take, when actually sometimes we just need to go ahead and do it. And I think as we come out of, as we, let's say hypothetically in 6 months' time, as we begin to come out of this COVID crisis, there's going to be many opportunities, and there are many opportunities now. And sometimes we just need a kick up the backside to say, do it.
Yeah, and we have some fantastic buildings, facilities, don't we, in order to serve our community. I know we're doing that already, and we're getting groups back in, but there's still space for us, to be creative in how we use those buildings, how, we as the church begin to use our passions and our skills and our experience to serve our community. And you know, I just want to work with anybody who wants to get involved, you know. And if you've got an idea as to how you think we can serve the community, then please let's start talking about it and let's see how we can do it. If you're seeing a need, a gap in our community, if you know through your work, through anything like that, then please you know, talk about it and let's see what we can do. And I think one other thing just to mention quickly is just become so aware of how the people in our congregation who are in the workplace every single day as well, and many of them have been under increasing pressure during this time. And I think, you know, I'd love to support our congregation in the workplace as well in the future, you know, in a more focused way. And so let's talk about how we can do that and the best way we can help you in the workplace to be a follower of Jesus and to be a witness there as well. So exciting times ahead. Exciting opportunities.
And full of opportunity. We are running out of time, would you believe?
Yes, I think we've probably run out.
And so I'm going to change my last question, and it's okay. One question I did prepare you for, so I'm sorry you haven't been able to answer that one. Another day, okay. we'll share that another time. What's your favourite Bible verse?
My favourite Bible verse?
Or passage, but preferably verse.
No.
We haven't got very long.
I think, no, so I'll take Philippians, and I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Let me take that one, because I think, you know, particularly during this time, I think that's become a very real verse for me. You know, it's a tough time. This has been a tough period of time, and you know, none of us have been here before. I've not been here before in terms of leadership, obviously, in a church. A lot of things, but I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, not in my own strength, but through him. And I'm so thankful to God for all that he's done. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful that I've been able to be here for a year. Let's hope I can be here for 2 years or more. And I'm just so thankful to be here at this time with a bunch of people who have been encouraging, supportive, and very responsive to all the changes. And let's pray that God will do even more as together we are the church, the light shining in our community that draws people to Jesus.
It's great.
What about you, Tom? We got a verse?
I do. I'm going to share something about Philippians 4:13 first.
Okay.
Can remember teaching at New Wine, teaching a group of 8 to 10-year-old kids that verse. And it's just incredible. I can remember standing up. I didn't stand up on the stage. There were other people who stood up on the stage there who acted out each of the words. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I can still remember these kids getting really enthusiastic, and that moment of realizing, I imagine for some of them, they actually realized on that day that they can do all things through Christ, that Jesus does give them the ability to do things, gives them power, strengthens them, is there for them. And it is remarkable how verses can have such a profound impact on people, and how our own experiences that have come just help guide us forwards. And for those 8-year-olds, 9, 10-year-olds who were there, I think that verse, if they can still remember it, which given the funny absence of the people who were showing them how to do it with the funny actions, I imagine they probably will. It's just remarkable. For me, with my favourite verse, I'm quite consistent and easy on it. Jesus said that I have come that you may have life, and life in all its fullness. Because if Jesus didn't come to do that, then what's the point of it all for me? So,
what an invitation.
And the reminder that actually the passage that comes before that is effectively the Good Shepherd. And when you read it in the context of that, you're like, oh, wow, the thief comes to steal and destroy. How many times do we see things that come to steal and destroy? Mm. And Jesus came that we can have life in all of its fullness. Yeah. And it was a verse for me at university. It was the verse of our Christian Union. And it still is now to this day, which is great to see whenever I get them pop up online to see my CU still keeping going with that, because it's full of life. It tells people Jesus brings life. And at this time, more than ever, that is something that we need to be reminded of. And to be able to proudly wear that as you walk around the university campus with an advert on your back, effectively saying, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full, as we phrased it.
Brilliant.
Just great.
Brilliant.
Really, really fantastic to be able to do.
That's a great place to finish. Well done, Tom. Life in all its fullness.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Shall we pray?
I think we should.
Fantastic. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all of the various things that come along in our lives that we can see you through, whether it's through meals out with friends, through seeing the beauty of creation, birds in the trees, grass on the ground, flowers on plants. Lord, we're reminded that you have come, that everything around us can have life, and that we can have life in all of its fullness. We pray that you'll be drawing close to those people in our church right now who are hurting, those who are experiencing physical pain, emotional pain, and we pray that you will help them to know your loving care at this time. We ask that you will be with those who are currently in hospital, and we pray that you'll be drawing especially close to them at this time. We pray for our church, we pray for everyone in our church family, we pray that you will be protecting them, that you will be helping them to see ways of serving those in the community, and we pray that you will be helping us as a church to know how best to reach out to those who don't yet know you, Lord. We ask all of these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Tom. Thank you for that. That was excellent. And we look forward to seeing everybody on Sunday, either in person or online, as we continue to worship God and continue to strengthen one another as well.
We'll be back in 2 weeks' time for another episode of NBC Connect, where we hope to bring you a special guest rather than just listening to me and Tim Witter on for half an hour. But until then, have a wonderful time. May God bless you, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.